Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Bahar. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells discusses Bahar. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. Today we'll be looking at a teaching from the Smat Sfatemet, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter of Ger, on our Parsha Bahar. Our Parsha, among other things, deals with the sabbatical year, the seventh year, a year in which you're not supposed to sow or plant or reap. And it asks in the Parsha this following very logical question. V'chi tomru ma nochal b'sha'a shvit, hein lo nizra v'lo ne'asof ha'tfuatenu. And if you should ask, well, what will we eat in the seventh year? We're not supposed to sow, and we're not supposed to also reap and gather in our produce. And the next verse continues, verse 21. V'tziviti et birchati lechem b'shana ha'shishit, and I will command to you or bestow upon you my blessing in the sixth year. V'asa tfuata l'shlosh ha'shanim, and it will give you enough produce really for three. So a natural question is asked, how do we know what's going to happen if we don't plant, if we don't sow, if we don't reap? And it seems like the answer in the Torah is that on the sixth year there will be enough for all the subsequent years. The Sfatemet, however, takes a different and fascinating approach to this question of the Parsha. He begins by telling us, B'sefer Noam Elimelech, B'shem Achiv Zal, Ki ha'yedea she'ela yitztarech ha'makom letzavet et ha'bracha v'chule, ayin sham. He says, in the Sefer Noam Elimelech, from Elimelech of the Zhensk, according to his brother, as quoted there, Razusia, that because of this question, because this question is asked by Bnei Israel, by the Torah, God was required to command the bracha, to command the blessing. That is, there's some connection here between the idea of this question, what we have to eat, and the command of the blessing. And what is the connection? So Sfatemet continues, Ubiur hadvarim, the explanation of these words of this matter. What is he talking about? Dema kusha hizo ma nochal. Because what is this kusha? What is this difficulty? What is this question where it's asked? What are we going to eat? Manda yaiv chaye, yaiv mazona. The one who can give life can certainly give food. And that is, why are you even asking that question? It's been Israel, they've experienced the man in the desert. What's the tremendous question about how are we going to eat? If God says, don't reap and don't sow, obviously enough food can be provided for. Ach, kim yakum b'nei Israel apines. But he says, the problem is that if Bnei Israel, if the children of Israel were supposed to be sustained on the basis of a miracle, not every generation would necessarily be fitting for a miracle. Maybe this generation was, but not every generation, and therefore the question has to be asked, what will be eaten? It's interesting because it poses the question as if it's a current question but being asked about future generations. And the explanation is that it will be through the path of the blessing. And a blessing is a little bit of nature. It's slightly related to nature. What is that? But then he says something else really quite dramatic and interesting. Up until now, we could have been understanding him to say that miracles happen, and we're not always prepared or ready for a miracle, and a blessing is a kind of piece of the miracle. The blessing is what allows a miracle to happen in a certain sense. And we'll see that's true, but he's going to shift our understanding of it now dramatically. He says, one must actually understand, or rather, Bnei Israel must understand, that miracles and nature, it's all one. Miracle, nature, the laws of nature, it's all one. U'b'met ein nes gadol v'nifla k'mo ha'teva. And there is no miracle as great and wondrous as nature. And certainly us moderns, when we think about the extraordinary things we know about the workings of the natural world, from its smallest level to its grandest level, to the infinite seeming size of the universe, to the infinite seeming size of the smallest particles, to the intricate workings of the human bodies or the natural world around us, It is simply extraordinary and certainly miraculous. And Sfatimet is here saying exactly, it is extraordinary and miraculous, the natural world itself. Shehu ha-gadol shebeniflaot ha-musagim lan. That it is the greatest of the wonders which are comprehensible by us. So actually, when we speak about miracles, whatever it might be, giving a man of the Red Sea, providing in the seventh year, the Sfatimet here actually claims that, in fact, the simple workings of nature is, in fact, the greatest miracle of all. It's certainly the greatest miracle that we can have any comprehension. Maybe perhaps there are other greater miracles that we can understand or comprehend, but it's, in fact, this very world that we're connected to, which is the most wondrous thing we can experience. V'az shezoha emunah mitbareah lebnei Yisrael, ein esek liot nizon apianis. So when this faith is clarified for Bnei Israel, for the people of Israel, then there's no work, there's no big deal to be fed by a miracle. When it's clear to you that the natural world is miraculous, then it's no big deal to be fed by a miracle. And on the one hand, we can understand that to mean that when understands the miraculousness of the natural world, then actual miracles are possible as well, because one is already in the state of knowing the miraculous and allowing the miraculous into one's life. But I think there's another way we can understand it, which is simply that when one recognizes the miraculousness of the natural world, one recognizes that, in fact, one is always being fed by the miracle. One is always being fed by the miraculous, the fact that food can grow in the ground, that we can take it out of the ground, that we can eat it, that it can sustain our bodies. These bare mundane facts are so unbelievably extraordinary that we are actually always already being fed by the miraculous. The question is actually not about the operation of the world, but it's about our consciousness of the world. Do we have the capacity to turn towards the world in a way that allows us to see its fundamental miraculousness? V'raki tomru v'chule, that is tomru, only when you say, manocha, what will eat, ad siveti v'chule, only then do I command the blessing. Now on the one hand, again, there are two ways we could read this. We could read it as saying, only when you're not in the consciousness of seeing fully that everything is miraculous, and you ask, what are we going to eat? When you're worried about your sustenance, then I command the blessing, then I command this ability to connect in some way to this metaphysical, ontological, miraculous nature. But we could see it another way, which is that we say, when you ask the question, when you have this question of worry, of anxiety, is there going to be enough? Will it be sufficient? Then I command for you this practice of blessing. Why? Not because the blessing is not what God grants. The blessing is a practice given to us to allow us to open up and experience the miraculousness of the world. The blessing is given to us precisely because when we are in those places of constriction, when we feel lost, anxious, unsure if there will be enough for us or for others, in a place of tightness, in a place of constriction, the blessing, or the opportunity of the blessing, is that it might incline our mind for a moment to notice the extraordinary miraculousness, the wondrousness, the expansiveness of the world in which we are living. Sfatimet then continues. Fines hu lashon harama. Miracle, this word for miracle, is a language of lifting up. Of lifting up, of raising. Perushi hanaga mitromemet mihanhagat hateva miyuchad lebnei Yisrael. That is, the explanation of this, why is it the language of raising? It means that it is a kind of action, an operation in the world which is exalted over the actions of nature, and is particular, special to Bnei Israel, to the people of Israel. But again, now we have a way of once more rereading, or perhaps meeting the deep meaning of what the Sfatimet is trying to say here. He says, what is the significance of this action which is above and beyond nature? It is actually recognizing that that is the very nature of nature itself. As he says, nature is the greatest miracle. So it's not really about beyond being nature. It's about beyond our own mundane, limited perception of the world. It's about helping us see beyond our habitual ways of seeing relating to the world, beyond our sort of assumptive, mindless ways in which we glaze over and pass over all the extraordinary wonders that are present in this world every day, and seeing the simple wondrousness of this life. For many of us, we may go through the world and be concerned sometimes about boredom. That someone will be somewhere on a bus, on a train, we want something to read, we want something to do, we won't have our smartphone with us, and we'll be bored somehow. will be disconnected from experience. And what the Sfat Emet is suggesting here is that there's something insane about thinking that we could ever be bored in the midst of the wondrousness of this universe, that this universe is so unbelievably extraordinary, so miraculous on every level and every way, that if we just took a moment to actually pay attention to the nature of the world we are living in, we would see its unspeakable wondrousness. And then the Sfat Emet continues, V'ken katuv ha-Maharal, so too the Maharal wrote, Ki kamo sheyesh seder la-teva, ken yesh seder la-nisim. Just as there is a kind of order or structure to nature, there is an order or structure to miracles. That is, there are laws of miracles, just as there are laws of nature. V'seder zer miyuchad le-bnei Yisrael, ken yizkar la-Maharal. And this order is special, is particular to the children of Israel, as was mentioned above. Again, here there's a kind of collapsing of the distinction between the miraculous and the natural. If the very nature of what it means to be natural is to be subject to the laws of nature, things happen a certain way because they have to happen a certain way, the nature of the miraculous, it would seem, is that the miraculous is disconnected from law. The miraculous happens spontaneously, unpredictably, unconnected to cause and effect. But in fact, here Sfat Emet says exactly the opposite. He says, no. Just as nature has laws, the miraculous has laws, because, in fact, the miraculous and the natural are one. The question is really about how do we relate to our experience. The question is really, we can take any moment and say it's simply nature, it's simply mundane, we can skip over, we can see, in every moment, in every action, the miraculousness which is hidden there. And so the Sfat Emet continues, ובאמת הדורות שנעשה להם הניסים היה קבוע בהם אמונה, וישבה להם הטבע והניסים. And in truth, the generations for whom miracles were performed had fixed in their hearts this faith, that is, that nature and the miraculous were equivalent. Again, we have our continued dual reading. On the one hand, we could read this saying, only that generations that had that kind of faith merited to have miracles performed. But really, in another sense, we can read it to simply say, those generations who saw that nature was miraculous, of course were having miracles performed for them. They were having miracles performed for them every day at every moment, because they saw the fundamentally miraculous nature of this world. In some ways, we might compare this to one way, at least, of leading Rambam, Maimonides' understanding of Hashukha Pratit, of individual providence. One way of reading Rambam's statement in the guide is that it's not that actually God is looking out after individual people and rewarding you for what you do well and punishing you for what you do bad, because, of course, we look around the world in terms of material results, it doesn't seem to work that way. Rather, the person who's developed, who is awakened, who is alive, who is enlightened, perhaps, in Maimonides' terminology, is one who can see the fundamental goodness in a certain way every moment. And so the providence they receive is not some reward they get from acting a certain way, but is a natural result of the qualities they have developed in themselves. And so, too, here, the Sfat Emet says, the natural result of us developing this quality of seeing the miraculous in the world is that we are gifted by the constant presence of miracles in our lives. And so he continues, V'lechen na'agu Hashem Yibarach imahem b'nisi, k'nis kalamah. And therefore, God performed miracles for them. That is, God performs miracles because people see the everyday operations of the world, that which the divine has already created, as miraculous. And this is, of course, how the Sfat Emet, as we've seen, therefore, radically rereads this verse. As we could read in Leviticus 25, verses 20 and 21, and we did at the beginning, to say, when you ask the question, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? We can't reap, we can't sow, how are we going to eat? And God responds by saying, don't worry, I'm going to command for you a blessing, that the sixth year is going to give you enough for the next 3 years. But then, instead, the Sfat Emet, in classic Hasidic style, radically rereads the verse. He says, and when you ask this question, when you're stuck in this place of feeling, am I going to have enough? Will I have enough? Will it be enough? The divine responds by saying, that's why I gave you this practice of blessing. I gave you the practice of blessings to recognize that there is enough. And this teaching, of course, is not just talking about the sabbatical year and the seventh year. It's actually talking about something much broader than that. It's asking us the question, which is, how do we respond in our lives when we feel like we don't have enough? Perhaps we're not sure if we have enough materially. We're worried about the next paycheck, making the mortgage, paying the apartment, putting our kids through school, whatever it is we're doing. We have serious worries about having enough. Perhaps not having enough in other ways. Perhaps not having enough love, not having enough success, not having enough friendship, not having enough respect, not having enough of whatever it is that we want in our lives. Whatever it is that we're pursuing, that we're creating, that we're doing, whatever it is that we're doing on those other 6 years in the 7-year cycle, or those other 6 days in the cycle of the week. And it's not that there's no place for this question of, should I be pursuing more? Are there ways to produce more, to do more, to create change in the world? That's an important place. But what the Sfat Emet is telling us here is that the 7th year, the sabbatical year, and the 7th day, the Shabbat, is a day where we can stop and recognize for a moment that there is enough, that we are enough, that we are fundamentally okay, that we are loved, that we are successful, that we are safe, just the way we are. Nothing more to do, nothing more to accomplish. And that the practice for doing that, the practice that we've been granted for doing that, is this practice of blessings. Not blessings mumbled off without thinking about them, but blessings where we actually stop for a moment and really count our blessings. Really notice how blessed we are, how extraordinary this life is, how blessed we are to be where we are in the midst of it. So this, the Sfat Emet says, is the teaching of Bahar. It's this amazing opportunity to stop for a second and say, where do I feel that things are not enough? Where do I feel that things are not enough? And how can I, at this moment, recognize that I am enough, that it is enough, that there's something enough in this very moment, in my presence, in the divinity around me, in the basic miraculousness of my existence and the basis miraculousness of the world. May we all be blessed to see that miraculousness this whole week, this Shabbat, and every day, to notice the ways in which we are embraced all the time by this extraordinary, complex, wondrous, and extraordinary world.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Meisels. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.